This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Good morning, Macoupin County. Welcome to Mark My Words. I am Mark Duggar with the Macoupin County Farm Bureau. Doug, it's at the 97th American Farm Bureau Federation Annual Convention held in Orlando, Florida on January 9th through 12th, elected Zippy Duvall to serve as the new president of AFBF and Scott Vanderwall as vice president. Vincent Zippy Duvall is a poultry, cattle, and hay producer from Greene County, Georgia, and served as president of the Georgia Farm Bureau for 9 years. Duvall has held numerous leadership positions in Farm Bureau and his local community. He is the 12th president of the American Farm Bureau Federation. Scott Vanderwall is a third-generation family farmer from Volga, South Dakota, and has been president of the South Dakota Farm Bureau since 2004. A Farm Bureau member since 1977, Duvall has held numerous leadership positions in the Greene County Farm Bureau, including president and vice president. Duvall has served on numerous Greene Farm Bureau Commodity Advisory Committees and Georgia Farm Bureau Policy Development Committee, and as past chairman, the Georgia Farm Bureau Young Farmer Committee. He has represented Georgia as a voting delegate at the American Farm Bureau Federation Convention since being elected to the state board, and served on the AFBF Board of Directors in the 1980s as chairman of the AFBF Young Farmers and Ranchers Committee. He also served as a member of former Governor Sonny Perdue's Agricultural Advisory Council. Duvall and his wife Bonnie have 4 children, Vince, Corey, Zeb, and Zelly. Vanderwall is a third-generation family farmer from Volga, South Dakota. On their farm, Scott and his wife Michelle raise corn, soybeans, and do custom cattle feeding and some custom harvesting. As Scott has been a member of the South Dakota Farm Bureau Board of Directors since 1997, including 3 years as vice president. He was elected president in 2004 and has held the office since. Scott and Michelle are both graduates of South Dakota State University and served on the South Dakota Farm Bureau Young Farmers and Ranchers Committee for several years, including 1 year as chairs. The couple also served on the American Farm Bureau Federation YF&R Committee from 1992 to 1994, where Scott was elected second vice chairman. They have 2 sons, Kyle and Austin. In one of his first actions as president of the American Farm Bureau Federation, the organization's new leader, Vincent Zippy Duvall, selected Illinois Farm Bureau President Richard Giebert Jr. to serve on the AFBF Executive Committee. Giebert will represent the Midwest region on the panel that helps advise Duvall, AFBF Vice President Scott Vanderwall, and board directors. Executive Committee members serve 1-year terms. Other AFBF Executive Committee members include Dean Norton, Northeast Region, New York Farm Bureau President, Mark Haney from the Southern Region and Kentucky Farm Bureau President, and Paul Winger, Western Region, California Farm Bureau President. Illinois farmers elected Giebert Illinois Farm Bureau President in 2013 and re-elected him for another 2-year term in December. Farmers from other Midwest region states elected Giebert to the AFBF board last year. In my On the Farm author experience, children book author Shannon Bersani blogs enthusiastically about meeting farmers and visiting a meat processing plant during an American Farm Bureau Foundation for Agriculture event. Bersani was one of 12 children's book authors who participated in the foundation's On the Farm author experience in Orlando, Florida. In a recent interview, Dr. Bob Young, AFBF's chief economist, provided perspective on some of the key farm policy decisions from AFBF's annual convention in Orlando. A major issue is support for a proposition designated cotton as an oilseed, which would mean that crop is included in the ag-risk coverage and price loss coverage programs that are part of Farm Bill safety net provisions. Farm Bureau is worried the cotton prices being the way they are, the folks were under severe financial stress. New policy approved by Farm Bureau voting delegates took a stand against the Environmental Protection Agency taking advocacy positions. A federal agency is supposed to promulgate a proposed rule and then sit back and take comments, not try to make comments. The Fish and Wildlife Service recently announced the final 4D rule for the northern long-eared bat. The listing of the bat under the Endangered Species Act, along with the subsequent designation of critical habitat, has the potential to pose undue regulatory burdens on American farmers and ranchers. Under previous interim 4D rule, AFBF had expressed concern that the proposed listing and concurrent interim 4D rule may impose undue harm to farmers, ranchers, and landowners by restricting activities, including the application of pesticides, that, according to the preamble to the proposed rule, have not independently caused significant population-level effects on the bat and that are unrelated to the primary threat to this species, white nose syndrome. The final rule tailors protections to areas affected by white nose syndrome during the bat's most sensitive life stages. The rule is designed to protect the bat while minimizing regulatory requirements for farmers and landowners within the species range. As presidential candidates screen printed buses navigate the dusty back roads of America, rural voters now more than ever need to make sense of the political chaos that has taken over national headlines by researching candidates and their stances on all things agriculture. The president on Wednesday vetoed a congressional joint resolution that would have rendered the Environmental Protection Agency's Waters of the U.S. rule inoperable. The president's veto is salt in the wounds of farmers and ranchers, said AFBF President Zippy Duvall in a statement. He went on to say that we remain mystified as to why he continues to support this fatally flawed rule. The Government Accountability Office found the rule was issued with the help of illegal covert propaganda by EPA. 92 members of Congress, 22 states, numerous cities and counties, and dozens of industry groups have all stood up and said no to this rule. Courts have ordered the rule temporarily halted because of the harm it will cause. But somehow, the president and the EPA just keep pushing. But we won't stop either. AFBF will not rest until the rule is gone. The Horse and Burro Coalition has launched a campaign to improve wild horse management. According to the coalition, which includes AFBF, better management would strengthen and maintain the health of western public rangelands for the benefit of the wild horses and ranchers. More than 64,000 wild horses and burros roam public lands managed by the Bureau of Land Management in 10 western states, with an additional 47,000 residing in government-funded holding facilities at a cost of more than $40 million annually to taxpayers. According to AFBF's Ryan Yates, unfortunately, the government has not been able to manage these horses in a way to keep them at a sustainable level. It's not good for the horses, and it's certainly not good for the rangelands. People are needed to keep a farm running. From repair tasks to driving machinery and checking crops, there's no shortage of work to be done. Seems simple, right? But farm work is real labor. It's not easy. The job doesn't include an ergonomic chair, cubicle, scheduled vacation, or sick days. Farm work requires long days in often undesirable weather conditions and comes with an unpredictable schedule. It requires ongoing training, knowledge of crops and how they grow, plus many hours of twisting, turning, bending, climbing, shoveling, and heavy lifting. There's no way around it. It is labor, and most Americans do not want to do it. And on behalf of the Macoupin County Farm Bureau, where membership means value, I am Mark Duggar. Have a great day, and God bless America.